As we think about this year, we've touched on it last week, and we're part two this morning on Each One, Reach One. Each One, Reach One. Please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. This is our theme for this year, Each One, Reach One. You can see on the banner, of course, the theme verse for us from Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. And why don't we say that together? Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Matthew 4, 19. You know, if we're following Jesus, we are going to have a desire to see people come to Jesus. If we're not reaching out to people, if we're not concerned about other people's souls, there is some question whether we're really following Jesus. Because Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So understand again, it's not me trying to become a fisherman of souls. It's me following Jesus and letting him mold me to be the fisherman for souls that he wants me to be. In the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, he called, as we saw last week in this passage, he called Peter and John, two brothers who were fishermen. They had a business. It wasn't their leisure time. It was their business. It was their living. And he called Peter and Andrew to follow him. And they had an immediate response of obedience. They left their nets and they followed Jesus. Jesus then went on in verse 21 to call James and John in this same passage. And as he called them, they responded immediately as well, leaving their father Zebedee in the boat, leaving their fishing behind. They followed Jesus. And the evidence is here that they followed him for the next 3.5 years of his earthly ministry, and then went on to follow him even when he had ascended back to heaven. They were faithful disciples. Are you a faithful disciple? Will you follow Jesus? One of the greatest things we can do in 2021 is to follow Jesus and fish for men. To follow Jesus and fish for men. There's no greater thing we could do than to bring another soul to the Savior. To bring a soul to Jesus. Oh, there are people all around us who need the Savior. We looked at a number of different passages last week. I'm not going to go through all of those, but in Romans 10, we saw how Jesus, how the Bible talks about how that someone who brings the gospel has beautiful feet. It's beautiful. God says that's beautiful. Those obedient feet, those courageous feet, those ones who carry that message, beautiful. You know, I think that's probably the emphasis there, particularly because in those times, people who traveled a long ways, they traveled on their feet. And their feet would be sore. They would be hurting and swollen sometimes. And their feet would get to some place, to a destination, after journeying for days and weeks and whatnot. And they were injured for that trip. And you know what? God says, those are beautiful feet. Feet that have been obedient to bring the message of Christ to the farthest corners of our globe. And so, what a blessing. Beautiful feet. Lead another person to Christ. Is there a greater thing you can do in 2021? There is not. There is not. Whether you're listening online this morning or whether you're here in the sanctuary, consider how you can bring another soul to the Savior. Last week, we recognized the need all around us, the great need. And we looked over some statistics as well of even how many children are born into North Dakota. In 2018, there was a statistic of 10,636 children, babies, born into North Dakota. 10,000 in 1 year. Think about how many children that is. how many who need the Savior. Why do I emphasize children? Well, because they grow up sinners. They grow up absolutely lost. And they need the Savior. And they need to hear. They don't grow up having known how to be saved. They don't grow up unless someone teaches them. Unless someone shows them. Unless someone explains to them who Jesus is. And how sin is the problem. And how they are sinners. And judgment will be their doom if they don't turn to the Savior. He is the only way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so we must reach the people of our area, our Jerusalem, our Judea and Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. How to get started? How can we get started? That's where I'd like to land here today on this. And we're going to go to the Lord in prayer here this morning. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you that we have your word and we can open it freely. Thank you for the opportunities that we have. They are massive. They are great in this day in which we live. Lord, thank you for the technology, being able to speak to a broader group than even is meeting here this morning. Lord, I thank you for that. And I pray that you'd stir each heart. Lord, if there's someone in the audience, whether in the congregation here before me or whether those joining online, even at a later date, those who do not know Christ, Lord, that they might see that he is their only hope, that their sin that plagues their life will take them to an awful place, but that Jesus loved them so much that he took their judgment on himself. And all those who trust Jesus by faith, not trust the church, not trust some religious activities or rituals, but Jesus, the Savior, that they would recognize that he is the hope. Salvation comes through a person. His name is Jesus. Lord, help them to trust him today, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Acts 16:31. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you would stir in our hearts today a desire to bring more souls to the Savior. Give us courage, Lord. Give us boldness. Help us to be vessels that you can use, prepared vessels. In Jesus' name, amen. Each one reach one in 2021. Well, how do we get started? First of all, we need to cultivate our own walk with God. We must cultivate our own walk with God. I'll tell you what, when we think about cultivating, working the ground, working up the soil, when we think about cultivating, you know, there's the farming practices are certainly a little different on the farm today, but there's still cultivation, and there's still weeds to deal with. And you know what, in the Christian life, as modern as our age is, with all its technology, with all its helpful tools, you know what? There's still weeds to pull. There are still rocks to pick. And I'll tell you what, just like on the farm, on some pieces of ground, I think of some of my farming days growing up, working for farmers and such. You know, there were fields where the rocks kept coming. And every spring, as you worked the ground to get ready for planting, you, the rocks came up. And you needed to deal with those rocks. Because if you didn't deal with the rocks, it would damage your equipment eventually. It would risk getting into your combine and breaking and causing thousands of dollars of damage. You needed to deal with rocks when they came up. Or sometimes you had to dig them up, obviously, too, because they were showing themselves. And you know what? Sometimes a rock shows itself and it's just a little dimple there. Seems fairly solid. And sometimes you begin to try picking at it with equipment. And you know, sometimes that rock is massive. Massive. Thousands of pounds and bigger than a skid steer. I mean, it's like, wow. And that was just under the ground there, under the surface. Oh, think about the rocks that come up in our lives, some big, some small, but they surface. Are you dealing with the rocks in your own life? Friends, if we're going to be a witness to the world, we must deal with the stones that are hurting the ground of our hearts. Stones of rebellion. Stones of self-dependence or stubbornness. Where we resist God, where we resist authority He's placed in our life, those stones must be picked. And sometimes picking stones takes time. And sometimes when you pick a rock, like I just explained, there's a whole lot more that gets exposed as we deal with those things. But when we think about being a witness for Jesus, friends, we must cultivate our own walk with God, pulling weeds. Weeds are those things that just keep growing up. You don't say, well, I picked all the weeds. This is beautiful soil. No weed will ever come here again. No, that's not how it works on planet Earth. One day in heaven's glory, in the glorified body, there will be no weeds. There will be no sin. But right now, sin is a very present challenge. My own flesh. If I don't pick the weeds, it will choke the word. It will choke out the word. Consider Mark 4, if you would, in your Bibles, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. Notice verse 18 and 19. Mark 4, verse 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in. Would you read the next part? Choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. We're jumping in the middle of a parable here that Jesus told and is explaining. And he talks about these thorns, these weeds that grow up, and he compares them to cares of this world. He compares them to the deceitfulness of riches. He compares them to the lusts of other things entering in. That's pretty broad, let's be frank. That's a broad spectrum Jesus identified there of weeds that can grow up in our life. Maybe it's a fleshly indulgence of yours that just steals the time you could have in the Bible, that steals time in prayer. A fleshly indulgence, perhaps in and of itself, it's not sinful, but in the quantity, in the nature of how it chokes the word out in your life, it's an issue, it's a weed that must be pulled. And so, as we cultivate our own walk with God, we must deal with those weeds, and those rocks must be picked. The hard soil must be broken up, so that we can have a good ground, that the Word of God is bearing fruit in our life, that we are walking in the joy of the Lord, our Savior. How can we, this idea of reaching someone else for Christ is not reaching them by grabbing their arm and saying, now you're going to trust Christ if it's the last thing I do to you, No, obviously, we can't force people to be saved. That's the wrong spirit. Our spirit must be gentle, loving, caring, ministering to people who are bound in their sin, ministering to people who are in anguish, ministering to those and planting the seeds of the gospel in hearts of people who don't want what you're giving, but in love. We must gently give in love, in humility. You see, being a servant of Christ isn't about being harsh or brash. It's about being meek and gentle, sharing the love of Christ. Are we growing in Christ ourselves? Is the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God in our life? Turn over to Galatians 5. It's familiar, but in Galatians 5, the Lord is contrasting the works of the flesh, and as we come to verse 22, He gives us the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, when we are growing in Christ like we should, when the soil of our heart is properly cultivated, when the weeds are pulled and the rocks are picked and the soil, the seed of the word is finding good root and it's bearing fruit, what kind of fruit will it bear? It's going to bear the fruit of love. Galatians 5:22 tells us. Love, this is that selfless care like Jesus had for us. I mean, seriously, are you something really nice for Jesus to come for? I mean, you in your sinful condition? No, none of us. But he came because he loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God the Father gave his Son, and his Son was hated. His Son was spit upon. His Son was treated abusively. And out of the Son of God came forth love. When he bled, when he suffered, he didn't revile again. He didn't retaliate against those who hit him, for those who cursed him, for those who spit on him. He loved them. He prayed in their presence for God to forgive them. Oh, may the love of Christ be the fruit of our life. Think about it here, another one. Not only when God's Spirit is in us and controlling us will love be evident and overflowing, but joy. Joy, not a smile pasted on, you know, while we're in public or something of that nature, but the joy of the Lord coming from our hearts, a heart that is at rest, a heart that is at peace with God, a heart that is excited about what the Lord is doing. This is important that we cultivate this. I'm talking about each one reaching one. Well, how are we going to reach one? We must cultivate our own walk with God. Look at more of the fruit here of the Holy Spirit of God. It's peace. Peace. In an unpeaceful world, God wants us to have his peace. Patience. Well, actually, long-suffering. Long-suffering, it's patience. But long-suffering is the next one. To suffer long. Again, Jesus is a wonderful example of this. In his suffering, he was patient. He was kind with people. Gentleness. Gentleness. This is that tender kindness, right? To be gentle. Like a nurse, like a mother cares for her little baby. Gentle. Like a father holds a newborn. Gentle. Goodness is the next fruit mentioned. Goodness. This is moral uprightness. Morally pure. Listen, we must be godly. If we're going to reach others for Christ, we can't be living in sin. You don't reach people over a beer bottle, friends. You don't get people to Christ that way. We live godly. You don't get people to Christ by watching the same corrupt movies they watch, right? You don't draw connections because you know all the rock and roll songs that they know. Salt must be different than what it's trying to flavor. And God calls us to be salt, right? To be salt. To something different that changes the flavor of what it's sprinkled on. Consider also faith. Faith, a trust in God. A trust in God. Oh, may the world see that we believe God. Notice also verse 23, meekness. There's the idea of a lubrication, such as I've talked about before. The oil in the crankcase of your engine is a lubrication on, and it reduces the friction of all those working parts. That's what meekness is. It's strength under control. Friction is diffused by meekness. Temperance. And we could take more time, but we better cruise along. So we must cultivate our own walk with God. That's so important. That's so vital. If we are going to reach a world for Christ, if we're going to reach a neighbor for Christ, if we're going to reach a relative, we can't have a put-on walk. We have to walk humbly with our God. That is critical. I wrote down here in my notes Habakkuk 3:17-18, and it says this, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail. The fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold. And there shall be no herd in the stalls. Even though things are bad and the crop failed and everything's bad, the next verse says this: yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. You know what will bring people to Christ is a glowing Christian, a Christian who has the joy of the Lord in his heart. When things go wrong, he continues to bless God. When things go awry, he continues to pray and to praise the Lord. God, help us to not be dismayed. You know, I think of the wife who has a disobedient husband to the word. It's talked about in 1 Peter 3. And you know, there, God tells the wife, the woman in that passage, that she will win her husband, not by her verbal preaching, but by her godly demeanor, her meek and quiet spirit, which God says is of great price. It's beautiful. Well, just the same, we will not reach a relative by arguing and bickering or whatnot. We won't bring a co-worker to Christ with a harsh and condescending attitude. We won't bring a neighbor to the Lord or because we treat them unjustly, right? Cultivating our own walk with God, walking in the joy of the Lord. Next, I want you to consider for whom you'll pray. We talked about this last week, so hopefully you've also been able to work on this. Those of you who were here and those joining online, hopefully you've had a chance to consider the 2021 prayer plan. This is five people that we're going to pray for. The 2021 prayer plan. That's a tongue twister. But you know what? I hope that you write 2021 down on a notebook and write over, pray about who you should put there. Two relatives or close friends on the top. And then the zero is to pray for who? Oh, me. Oh, me. Pray for myself. I need you, Lord. I'm nothing without you. You must fill me. I am empty. We're talking about praying for people who need Christ. Maybe there's someone we don't know where they stand. We must pray. So I'm challenging you in the next few weeks. You need to, if you haven't already, you need to get these names down that you're praying for. Why is that? Because we're first and foremost going to pray for these five people. Can you pray for more? Yes, but I don't want to risk you praying just blanket prayers. Lord, save all my coworkers. Lord, save all the people in my town. Lord, save every soul in the United States of America. Okay, that's great. I mean, that's great. But how about why we identify people whose names we know or whose names we'd like to know? Maybe it's somebody you met, you don't quite know their name, and you say, you know what? I'm going to pray for this person in private. This isn't public. This isn't when I'm asked to pray at church. This is who I, you know, pray for. No. I'm praying. This is my private, personal time with God. I am praying for these five individuals, two relatives or close friends, myself on the zero, two members of my community, and one coworker or neighbor. And of course, we can shake that up. It's not strict regulation of that categories, but I want it to be spread over different demographics of those in your life, in your scope, in your sphere of influence. Pray. You know, we'll talk more about what we'll do after prayer, but you know what? The greatest thing we'll do in 2021 is pray. The greatest thing we'll do for these people that we put on this prayer list, on the 2021 plan, is to pray for them. You know, if all you did was walk with God and pray for these people, 2021 would be a success. I'm not going to twist anybody's arm about what you're going to do after this and how you're going to visit them or something. No, I'm going to give you encouragement. But you know what? Every situation is different. And I don't want you to run from praying for them I don't want you to run away from praying from them because you're scared pastor's going to force you to do something else in that person's life. Listen, if all you do is pray for them on a daily basis, that would be a miracle right there. That will incite a miracle. It will. Prayer makes a difference. And I have a little inkling that if you're walking with God and you're praying for someone by name for their need, that other things are going to happen. So let's pray. Work on your 2021 plan. That is your homework assignment. Let's nail this down and establish who we're going to pray for. Each one reach one in 2021. Cultivate your walk with God and pray. Pray for those who need Christ. Choose five specifically in the 2021 plan. With heads bowed, with eyes closed, how is it with you? Is there something that needs to be different in your walk? As you cultivate, do you find weeds that have grown into mere, just about trees that have plagued an area of your life? Maybe there's a rock that's been hindering the word from growing in your life. May God help us to deal with those things today. Heavenly Father, please continue your work in our lives. Oh, we sure need you. In these last days in which we live, Lord, I believe time is short. Help us to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Help us to live to do your will this year. Lord, may we be faithful. Help us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and what he's telling us even at this time. In Jesus' name, amen.